And so, Brother Collins, you folks probably know L.L. Collins. And I grew up around Brother Collins a lot, and he always took me to camp meetings and special services with him. And he's always been after me to sing before I preach. And so my mom and dad knew that wasn't a good idea for me to do, you know. They had lived in the house with me. And my sister especially, Brother Smith, knew that was not a good idea. So anyways, we had a great service that Sunday morning and had a good crowd. And the Lord really moved there. And so I was looking forward to the meeting Sunday night, but hardly nobody came back. And so it was just a small crowd that had shrunk very drastically. And I thought this would be a good time for me to try to sing that song, "I've Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop." You know that song? Well, I've always have liked that song, and so I attempted to sing it, and I started in the wrong key, kept singing in the wrong key, and ended in the wrong key. And so after the meeting that night, a fellow met me at the back door. "Now, Brother Dave, that preaching was all right, that guitar playing was all right, but that singing, maybe you could practice on your mom and dad before you come back to practice on us." So needless to say, I haven't been singing, but it's so wonderful to be here. This is the first time I've ever been here in this church. I appreciate Brother Jones. I've always have appreciated him in the ministry. And he's A1 first class. Can I say it that way? That's Kentucky talk, A1 first class. And I appreciate him. He's always had just a great attitude. And I have seen him at meetings and special services and revivals. And always good to be here with my friend, Brother Gary Smith. Appreciate him. And some of you folks, Brother Smith was telling me before service that you might be from the great state of Kentucky. Well, everybody that ain't from Kentucky ought to be born again. My uncle, some of you old timers would remember him, Brother Gene Huff. He was my great uncle and had preached up here in years past. And he died about a year and a half ago now in December of 2011. And always heard Brother Huff talk about coming here to Broadway, but never was able to make it while he was still alive. And I had a cousin that preached some revivals here, maybe with Brother K.A. Smith. Terry Fletcher was his name. And always heard great things about the church here at Broadway. And I can see why, that God has very much blessed you here in this church. I want to read something to you that I just picked up. And then we're going to go to the book of Exodus. But I thought this was very interesting to read about. This is called Trying to Do the Job Alone. "Dear Sir, I am writing in response to your request for additional information for my insurance claim. In block number 3 of the accident claim form, I wrote, quote, 'trying to do the job alone' as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain that statement more fully. I trust the following details will be sufficient. I am a bricklayer by trade. On the date of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carrying the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley which was attached to the side of the building at the 6th-floor level. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note in block number 22 of the claim form that my weight is only 150 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded up the side of the building at a very rapid rate of speed. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains my fractured skull and collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. By this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel then weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to the information in block number 11 regarding my weight. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the two fractured ankles and the lacerations of my legs and lower body. This second encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell onto the pile of bricks. And fortunately, notice how he puts this, fortunately, only three vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain, unable to stand, and watching the empty barrel six stories above me, I again lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. The empty barrel weighed more than the rope, so it came down upon me and broke both of my legs. I hope I have furnished sufficient information to explain why, quote, trying to do the job alone was stated the cause of the accident. Sincerely, a bricklayer. Well, maybe you've read that before, but that's kind of the same way it is with us here this evening. Maybe we're trying to do the job all by ourselves instead of employing somebody else. Instead of asking somebody else for help, we try to take matters in our own hands and try to handle it on our own way. So this evening, if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter number 4. Exodus, chapter number 4. I pray not to be too lengthy here this evening. Brother Gallagher always taught me some very important things in the ministry and in church work. Every church needs a songbook. Every church needs an offering pan. Every church obviously needs a Bible. And every church needs a clock. In Exodus chapter number 4, let's look at verse number 18. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon his ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Back up to verse number 10, the same chapter, Exodus 4 and 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I want you to notice this, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Notice the Lord's response in the next verse. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the deaf or the dumb or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. If God would help me this evening, I want to take a text and preach out of verse number 10. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I want to preach this evening, if God would help me, on stuttering. Stuttering. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for everybody that made it out here into the house of God this evening. Thank you for the rich history of the church at Broadway. But God, we realize tonight that we're a needy people, but you are a giving God. God, I pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to saturate this congregation and let somebody that come in this building tonight with a stutter leave by the power of God, the Holy Ghost. And in the name of Jesus, we ask it to do great things in this house and around these altars tonight. In your name we pray, and the congregation says, and amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Brother Smith, whenever I was a boy, a lot younger, I was about 7 or 8 years old. I had a problem, Brother Jones, and I had a stuttering problem. And I still try to overcome that by reading and took some therapy over it and what have you. But whenever I was a little tyke, I would run into the room and I was trying to tell my mom or grandma or mom and dad something. And I would wind my arm up and get it a-going, and I would just stuttering the whole time and try to get that arm of winding up and get that word out as kind of my way of coping with it. And so I can kind of relate to the way Moses felt about things here. And I'm going to get to my point here in a minute. But I want to talk to us this evening about guys that try to do the job all by themselves. You ever met people that try to take things in their own hands and they make a mess of it? I had that wonderful privilege of doing that myself a few times, where I told my dad, "Yes, Dad, it's so good to be back home. I'll gladly take that $75 you was going to pay the painter, and I would love to paint the room in here." Well, anybody that's a painter here would know you probably ought to move the furniture out before you start painting. Or at least put some plastic over top of the couch before you start painting. And so I tried to do the job all alone and tried to take the shortcut to doing things. And when he got home, paint on the beautiful new couch. "David, what are you doing? You didn't even move any of the furniture out of the house." "Yeah, tried to do it all by myself. Messed everything up." But that's the same way it is when it comes to folks in church business. You try to do it all by yourself, but you of yourself can't do it. You need God's help. That's why in Proverbs 3 it says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in what? In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How many knows when you rely on God and whenever you give it to God, you understand His way and you put Him in the driver's seat and He is the director of your life when you trust in the Lord. Now Moses' name, we know what it means. It means drawn out. And all throughout Moses' life, we will see how God is drawing out of Moses into forming him and molding him and making him into the man that God wants him to be. How many wants the Lord to keep a working on him? In molding us and making us and fashioning us into what the potter would have the clay to be. That's the way it was with Moses. His name meant drawn out, for Pharaoh's daughter had drew this baby of Jochebed's out of an ark of bulrushes. Whenever God got ready to make a move and to deliver His people from 400 years of captivity, God used a baby. That's why we preach against abortions. The church still stands against that stuff. Even if they voted in Washington, we still preach against killing babies. God used Moses. Moses grows up, lives in Pharaoh's daughter's house, educated amongst the Egyptian world, and becomes a very intelligent person. But the day came in Moses' life whenever he realized that he wasn't like everybody in Egypt, but rather he was a Hebrew like the ones which were being persecuted. How many knows that the Christian and the people that bear the name of God, of being a Christian and live a life of holiness, are different from everybody else surrounding us? We're different from everybody in this world, folks, if you're a Christian and bought by the blood. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Moses realizes that something is different about him. And so he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and something rises up inside of Moses. He takes care of that Egyptian and kills him and buries him in the sand. But his problems were all starting to come to the surface. They threw him out of the land of Egypt. He runs into the desert and goes in a place called Midian. And there he would be, minding his father-in-law Jethro's flocks. But God knows exactly where Moses is at. Don't you ever think that God's forgot where you're at? Well, you say, I know where I'm at. I'm in Lorain, Ohio, right here at the corner of Broadway. I know exactly where I'm at. Well, how about, does God know where you're at in your personal life? Back at the house? In your marriage? With your children? Does God know? God knows exactly where you're at. And He knows exactly the plan. And He wants to put it into your life that He has for you. Moses receives the call of God. A bush starts burning there in Midian, but is not consumed. And the fire of the Lord burns in that bush. And God speaks out of it and says, Moses, I'm going to put something inside of you that will deliver My people from 400 years of bondage. How many knows, folks, first off here this evening, that we must have God as the source and the spirit of our strength? In case you haven't realized it, this isn't your church. This isn't my church. This isn't even Pastor Jones's church. This is God's church. This building, yeah, God may have been able to use us to funnel some money through to build it, but at the end of the day, this church belongs to God. This is God's house. This is His place. This is where He dwells at. This is God's church. So many ministries nowadays, and I never have understood this at all, they don't have a burden for souls. They don't have a burden for a lost and dying world. All they're worried about is building up their own ministry. My ministry. My ministry. The things that I've done. Brother, you will never have a ministry that will amount to nothing in God's kingdom unless it is God's. It must be God's. Whatever ministry I have, it's all because of Him. It's not that I am perfect, but it's that Jesus is perfect. It's not that I myself am holy. It's that I serve a holy God. And He makes me to be holy. The source, the Spirit that God puts inside of Moses. He speaks to him out of a bush. Moses, the Spirit is going to be inside of you to work miracles in Egypt and to bring My people out of bondage. It's the same Spirit. It's not a different Spirit. It was the same source that Joshua even looked to. Whenever God had taken Moses' life and the devil had bargained for it and gambled for it and wanted the body of Moses, but God hid him away. And God turned the reign of command over to Joshua. It wasn't a different Spirit that Joshua had. It was the same Spirit. It's not a different Spirit that's kept the doors of this church open for 90 plus years, I imagine, by now. It's the same Spirit of God. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's not a different Spirit. It's the same one. What do we got to get in communion with and in tune with? We've got to get a hold of something that this world doesn't offer. We need something that Grandma and Grandpa had. I understand, hey, down in Kentucky, and Brother Smith can testify to this, and some of you wonderful Kentuckians out there tonight, I've been in service with them, and they'll get up, Brother Jones, and talk about what Grandma did, and what Grandma did, and the things that Grandma wrote in her diary. Well, we're glad for what Grandma did, but you need to find the same God that Grandma had. Amen. You've got to find the same source, the same Spirit of God. That's the source you need to tap into tonight in communication with God. The source and the Spirit was the same. You know, I think about these. There's a word that we use in business nowadays, franchise. You heard that word, franchise. McDonald's is a franchise. And I've never been, I've been probably about 30,000 miles this year already and traveling, and you see them beautiful golden arches. And I've never walked up to a real McDonald's franchise where the golden arches there were painted blue or pink or purple or something else. It was the same one that they used all these years. And then you think of another franchise, Burger King. What's their motto? Have it your way. And then my alma mater, Kentucky Fried Chicken, that all we preachers like to go visit sometimes on Sunday afternoon. Kentucky Fried Chicken, we do chicken right, I think is their motto. And I've never walked into a KFC and ordered a piece of pizza because that's not what they do. That ain't what they do. But the same is true when it comes to the church. The church has something more to offer than a meal, than a coin, than money in the bank, than tithes on Sunday morning. The church has something more to offer. The Spirit is still the same. The source is still God. We've got something more than this world could ever offer. We've got the real thing. We've got the power of God. Hallelujah. Brother Smith will remember our old preacher back in Covington, Kentucky, Brother Chester Shell. And Brother Shell, one time, I wasn't there in Brother Shell's day. He was gone before I got here. But I've heard a lot of stories about him and got a lot of his tapes. And Brother Shell told the story one time. He was going to the meeting in Mobile, Alabama. And so preachers, you know how they do. They get that car all ready to go and wash it and wax it and clean it out and top off all the fluids. So he had done that. Except whenever he got to Nashville, he got something on his windshield and he hit that button for the washer fluid to come out and it came out oil. He had put the oil in the wrong place and the washer fluid in another. That car was runned after it was all said and done. But I want to tell you tonight, as funny as that may be and crazy as that may sound, that's the same way it is with the church, brother. What's inside of you is going to come out on the outside. And God wants to put something so real, His source, His strength, His Spirit, His joy, His peace inside of us that the world knows it's something more than we've ever offered them. It's something from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit of God in this house this evening. Hallelujah. How many of you know the thing that's kept this church open and the doors for a lost and dying world to come in? It's not of our abilities, but it's of what Jesus has done. It's His Spirit. It's His church. He's the source. Hallelujah. So we have His source that God put inside Him, the Spirit that God put in Him. What about His staff? Moses' staff. Point number three, His staff. What is a staff? I was reading Lang's commentary a few weeks ago about this passage of Scripture, and Lang says that the Lord made him use the staff because it would remind him of where he came from. Remind him of the days whenever he was a shepherd. That's the same way it is with us, folks. We must never forget where God has brought us from and all the miles we've traveled for God, where God has brought us to now. His staff. This staff represents a lot of different things. God had told him in the fourth chapter, you're going to take this as the rod of God. And so Moses would get to the land of Egypt and he would throw that staff down and the rod would become a serpent. Pick it up by the tail, it would become a staff again and become a rod again. It could do many, many things. Now I want you to picture this with me, and I'm not going to be lengthy here this evening, promise you that. But Moses takes the children of Israel and goes down there, and plagues happen, terrible things happen. Finally, Pharaoh lets the children of Israel go, but not without a high price in hot pursuit. I was in Depew, Oklahoma about a month ago, and it was really late at night. I had been in a service there. And so you get in these small town Oklahoma, if you ever been there, and they've got county mounties out there, you know. That's just a-waiting for somebody driving Kentucky tags to run a stop sign. And I mean to tell you, I wasn't paying attention. I didn't have a care in this world, where even where I was at. I thought I was lost. I was looking at my phone trying to get out of this place and go back and rest a little while. And I had ran through that stop sign, and this cop had followed me for quite some time. It took me about 2 miles to realize there was blue lights behind me, because my mind just wasn't there. Has that ever happened to you before? I hope not, because maybe you'll get a ticket as big as I did. Anyways, Moses takes God's children out of the land of Egypt and they come to the Red Sea. Now, a Red Sea in front of them, obstacle number one. All of a sudden, Pharaoh doesn't like the decision that he's made and second guesses himself, and send 600 of his chosen chariots behind him. Obstacle right there. Somebody on the offense behind you ready to take your life. And if that's not bad enough, as soon as they get there, everybody that God's just delivered is now limiting what God can do. Don't limit what God can do. Moses, why did you bring us out here? 600 of God's chosen, of Pharaoh's chosen chariots behind us. The Red Sea in front of us. We can't drink up that much water. We can't throw that water somewhere else. We ain't got no heavy artillery. What do you do when you got Pharaoh's arm behind you, Red Sea in front of you, and everybody yelling at you on the side of you? Ever been there before where it all comes caving in? You look at what's in your hands. Moses, we realize that that staff worked pretty good and that rod worked pretty good whenever you was down there minding Jethro's flocks. Yeah, worked pretty good then. But don't you realize, ain't you woke up this morning, Moses? These guys are going to kill us. They're out after us. We're going to die. And all you've got is a rod, a stick. You're going to beat 600 chariots of men behind you with a stick? No, I'm just going to stretch it forth. You'll only grow in God whenever you stretch. What is God doing? He is molding us and fashioning us and forming us into the person that He wants us to be. And you can't grow in God unless you get out of your comfort zone and stretch out. But it's whenever you stretch forth the things that you have in your hand is when God works the miracle. Hallelujah! I don't know your problems here this evening. I don't know what's wrong in your life. I'm just going to tell you, you've come to a very uncomfortable place. But there's a God that likes to work when your back's against the wall. There's a God that always comes through when you stretch forth what's in your hand and allow God to work. I must hurry. I talked about His source. His source was God. The Spirit that God put inside of Him. The staff that was in His hand. Finally, stutter. Stutter. Lord, I can imagine how this conversation goes, Brother Jones.
Moses, God's man of faith and power, that went down to Egypt and told Pharaoh, "Let my people go."
That's how we always think about it, right? But in reality, it was probably more like, God said. You get the point? Stuttering. And Moses asks God the question and tells Him the facts. I am not eloquent. I've got a stuttering problem. I can't talk right. We got any stuttering folk out there? And I'm not just talking about somebody that's slow of tongue. I've been there. I've had that problem. I still have that problem from time to time, as you can see this evening. We was talking back here before service. Been in college for 4.5 years, and I hate to see that bill roll in every month, but be graduating this year, and I wish they could have stopped this stuttering problem that I have. But maybe you come to this service tonight, and it's more than just a slow tongue. Maybe it's a stutter back at the house, a stuttering problem at the marriage. You got problems in your life with your children, problems back at home with your family, and you're trying to stutter your way through. What do you do when God demands something where your abilities are limited and you can't do it yourself? Here's what you do.
And the Lord said unto him, Moses, who made that mouth of yours? Who made the deaf and the dumb and those that can't talk? Moses, I know that stuttering problem that you have, and I put it there for a reason. And this is all I want you to do. When you go down to the land of Egypt, I don't want you to show them the bright lights that you have. I don't want you to show them all the credentials that you've got from your education. All I want you to do is walk in that court of Pharaoh with my spirit inside of you and the source I put in your hands and the staff of God. And I want you to tell those heathens, I am that I am has sent you. You don't have to have $1 million in the bank, brother. All you need is to tell them, I am that I am still is. Hallelujah to God. He is still the source. He's still the strength. He's still the joy. Hallelujah. Could you lift your hands right now and ask God to help us? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah. You tell them that I am, that I am sent you. And that's all they need to know. That's all they need to know. Let me tell this, if someone comes and gets the song, we're going to find a place to pray around here in a minute. Pastor Jones, I had been running 1,000 miles an hour in the summer of 2010, or the summer of 2009 rather. I was going as fast as you possibly could. I thought I had all my life straightened out, trying to do the job alone, all in my own strength. Thought I had it all straightened out. And Brother Smith, I had a real good idea. I thought I would borrow some money off my dad and not pay it back, you know, and maybe build a house, settle down. You young folks, I'm setting a bad example for you this year. Forgive me, but I had it all figured out. I was running 1,000 miles an hour and had this happening, that happening. And I was running and running and running and ran smack into the walls of Jericho and flat on my face I went. God, where are you at? I got a stuttering problem here. I got a stutter in my life. Down flat. I went down to the state of Georgia and preached a meeting, and God give us 6 souls, I believe it was, around that altar. That's not me, that was God. To God be the glory for that. But I was down, went back home, the same problems, the same stutter. My mom told me, David, you need to get out of the house and run up here to the supermarket and get me a few things, a few items. And so I did that, and you folks have them up here in Cleveland, I know. You walk up to the door, and it's automatic. Just open sesame, you know, just opens. And so, Pastor Jones, I was discouraged, angry, upset, bitter, stuttering. I walked up toward that door, and there was a little girl that was just real tiny. And she was a jumping with all of her might. But that door wouldn't open for her. And then all 6'4", discouraged, upset, stuttering of me, walked up behind her. And that door opened. And the Holy Ghost said, "You're not big enough. But I'm big enough." And you're not big enough of yourself this evening to handle it. Folks, it's got stuttering problems. You just keep on stuttering your way through. Or you can get somebody behind you that's bigger than you, that can open the door. Would you stand with me all over the house? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I thank you for everybody that made it out to the good church here at Broadway. Thank you for the pastor, the leadership, the wonderful folks here. But God, I pray more than anything, somebody's come in this house with some problems, with some stuttering problems, and they're telling God this and that is wrong and this and that is wrong. But God, you remind us this evening, you're the one in charge here, and you're the great I am. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody looking around,
There's one person in this house, I know there is. You throw your hand in the air and say, "Preacher, I've got stuttering problems. I've got a problem in my life. And I need God to intervene." Would you throw that hand up and slip it right back down? There's hands going up all over this house. We didn't miss it tonight. We didn't miss it tonight. God's met us here because He knows you was going to be here. But He's come to fix that stuttering problem and to bring a spiritual errand by your side. The Holy Ghost to pick you up and to open a door that you can't get open. But God's big enough to open that door. Now those of you that threw your hands up, would you come right now to this altar? Would you be the first to step out of that pew? Come down to this altar and say, "God, I need your help." Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Yes.
Let's come and pray. We've heard from the Lord tonight. Let's pray. Everybody, would you come? Let's pray. Talk to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
All things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who is my strength. There's no mountain too high, no river too wide, for Jesus is greater than strengthens me. All things through Christ who is my strength. There's no mountain too high, no river too wide, for Jesus is greater than strengthens me. All things through Christ who is my strength. There's no mountain too high, no river too wide, for Jesus is greater than